us, K5, recording for Hacker Public Radio, and I'm sitting in with Jason from the BeagleBoard company, or...
It's a project name.
Project name, and whose project is it?
Well, it's everybody's project. It's an open source project, but TI is the one that, Texas Instruments is the one that makes the chips that's used on the BeagleBoard, and that's who I work for. Lots of non-TI people involved in the project for sure. Russ, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. I'm not real familiar with the BeagleBoard project, so I thought I'd come over here and maybe introduce myself and a bunch of others to it, hopefully. So give us a little bit of a rundown on what the BeagleBoard is, and you say it's an open source project, and a lot of people are more familiar with software when it comes to open source than hardware, so give us a little bit of a rundown on the BeagleBoard itself.
Well, there's quite a few open hardware projects emerging where people give away all the details for reproducing the hardware, you know, yourself. So BeagleBoard falls into that category. But really it's focused on trying to take the processors that are initially coming out for like the high-end mobile phones that are starting to approach, you know, desktop, you know, performance and make it possible for hackers and hobbyists to do things on their own with those processors. So
similar in some way to the Arduino project, or
yeah, I think it's similar in a lot of ways to Arduino. The class of performance is quite different. The ability to hand solder some of the parts is quite different, right? The processor being used on the BeagleBoard, you know, has over 500 pins and it's a 0.4 millimeter ball pitch, so it's pretty difficult stuff to just solder yourself, although you can find contract manufacturers, professionals and stuff that can build it, but you can do a lot once it's down on the board for you. From here you can wire it up to a lot of things, and that's where it really gets opened up for you.
Okay, well, that sounds interesting. I'm not into a lot of hardware hacking myself, so...
No, I didn't even intend for it to actually be a real hardware project. Certainly wanted to all the schematics and all the hardware details to be shared, but I intended it to just be for software people to hack up and make some web platform stuff. It just, you know, how these open things sort of find a life of their own, and the hardware hackers just started showing up, really.
So you transformed it, or it transformed itself, I guess, from a software project into a hardware project. So what do you see the BeagleBoard being used as primarily right now?
A lot of robotic stuff. So this HexPod from CatCan is one thing that we brought by today. But so a lot of people see doing robotics, some hacks with Kinects, and the Xbox 360 Kinect, hooking that up over USB to the BeagleBoard, doing stuff like that. Automated drones, you know, flying vehicles. Home entertainment centers, you can run Xbox Media Center on it and make up a home theater, PC, web browser stuff, kiosks type of things where you can like put information displays and then have maybe something interactive with a web camera or something on it. Putting sensor stuff, sensor data collection stuff out in the world, and you know, because you can run off of batteries. Wearables, people like to do wearable hacks where they'll somehow, you know, hook up to eyeglasses or something.
But so as far as the BeagleBoard itself is concerned, I mean, how much does it have a particular like CPU chipset or anything like that? What kind of I/O devices, mm-hmm. things like that?
The BeagleBoard itself is it's an ARM microprocessor, but it's a lot higher performance than older ARMs. I mean, I don't know how much you know about ARM, or maybe your listeners don't know about ARM, but it's a really, really common processor in mobile phones and embedded systems. But the BeagleBoard is running a gigahertz processor, and it's super scalar. So you can think of about it as running, you know, just the main processor is running about 2 billion instructions per second.
It's a single core ARM processor.
It is a single core ARM processor today. You know, we'll look at maybe in the future going to multi-core. It does have a DSP in there as well, so an 800 megahertz C6000 DSP, which is an 8 functional unit DSP, so it runs essentially 8 instructions per cycle. It's a very long instruction word, so it's like one instruction is 256 bits.
Okay.
And, you know, so there's 8 32-bit instructions run every cycle on that core.
Okay.
And that's an 800 megahertz core. And there's some couple of video acceleration functions associated with that DSP core. And then there's a 3D graphics engine, an Imagination SGX PowerVR 3D graphics accelerator. So if you want to run Quake, it's a great engine for running Quake.
Okay. I mean, how close is it to like a fully functional, say, PC if you wanted to build a computer out of it?
Well, you can download a standard Ubuntu distribution if you want, right? So Ubuntu for ARM runs on it great. Fedora for ARM is out there. Gentoo. You know, a lot of stuff I do is with Angstrom based on Open Embedded, but it looks a lot like the Debian package. So if you want to run Debian for ARM, sometimes the individual in the ARM world, the board specific stuff tends to be a bit more specific than in the standard PC world. So you need to be. It may take you a little bit of extra effort to figure out how to do the startup, but once you get going, it's going to run just like your regular Linux PC, right? Because most of that's all open source software, so it moves between architectures pretty easily.
Right, and I know this little device you have here that you got shipped from Taiwan is actually running Android on it, so how well does it handles Android pretty well?
Yeah, there's a project called a Roboat. There's also 0x Droid, and there's several different projects to try to put out on open platforms, support for Android. And so it's you can run Gingerbread on the BeagleBoard if you want. I think that Honeycomb's not out yet, free yet. I think that they're still holding that back and trying to prevent the hackers from doing too many crazy things with Honeycomb yet. But yeah, if you want, you can even run like a Cyanogen mod on the BeagleBoard. Some folks have got that loaded up using Roboat Project for the base Android and then pulling in the Cyanogen mod hacks.
All right, so you guys sponsored the Indiana Linux Fest this time around, and you obviously came here and wanted to show off your product. So what would you like people to know? What'd you come here to tell people about the BeagleBoard, and where can they get more information or even obtain one if they wanted?
Of course, if you visit BeagleBoard.org, that's the place for all the information. There's a buy page on there. You can get a list of distributors for the board itself. The previous revision that was the OMAP 3530 that has a 720 megahertz processor instead of the gigahertz processor doesn't have the extra USB ports. You can get that now for $125. And then the XM version, the latest that's running a gigahertz with the extra USB ports and the 512 megabytes of RAM, is out there for $149 from distributors.
So as far as programming and like a barrier to entry to getting into playing around with this, you'd say that's pretty low. Average person can deal with it pretty much.
I think it's pretty low, and that the average person, if you can deal with Linux, I think if you're already a Linux hacker, that there's a couple things in the bootload. Now with the XM version, there's no NAND flash. There's no non-volatile memory on the board itself. What you can do is use the Ubuntu image writer, like you would make a bootable image for your PC to boot off of a USB stick. You can do the exact same thing for the BeagleBoard, right? You just program the SD card with the Ubuntu image writer if you can get an image of the system that you want to run, and it'll just boot and run. So I think the barrier point to it went through a little bit of a rough spot. Was the really geeky hackers came in and kind of geeked it up a little bit, and now it's kind of getting back to the point where lots of other people can get into it for sure.
Okay, I happened to notice when I looked over at it here that you had S-Video and HDMI connectors on it, so it will handle high-definition video?
Absolutely. You can do 720p video decode, and this is actually we call that a DVI-D connector because there's no audio out on there. So it hooks up to your standard HDTV, and you can do HD 720. You can do higher resolutions than that, but it wouldn't support the full 60 frames per second if you go much higher than 720p.
Okay.
But if you wanted to lower the frame rate, you could do even higher resolutions than that. It's limited at 2048 by 2048.
I don't think a lot of people can really tell the difference between 720p and 1080i or 1080p, really.
Don't try telling them that, though.
Okay, I won't do that. But okay, well, any parting words you want to say about the BeagleBoard? It sounds like an interesting project, and I'd definitely like to check it out myself, not having known anything about it before now.
I love it. If TI got rid of me tomorrow, I'd still be hacking with the project. No, I think you covered it pretty well.
Okay, great. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Nice to meet you, Jason, and thank you very much.
Nice to meet you, Russ. Thanks.